What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your awkward host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question I got for y'all today is, who will get hired? I'll attempt to answer that question in addition to some other questions. A first interruption with comedian Artie Lang, and some goosebump moments of the week, and with my divisional picks to finish out the show. So good show, short show, no guests, but who's down to clown anyways?
That's a clown question, bro.
So who will get hired? That's my question here. Of course, I'm talking about the NFL and those head coaching vacancies. I wouldn't really be that interested in anything else, maybe some college vacancies. But who will get hired? To answer that question, I've got some rumors, you know, just some personal predictions. But let's start with one of the actual hires who did get hired. That would be Mike Vrabel. Don't know how he didn't get hired last year. He, you know, had a mediocre Tennessee Titans team in their division hunt every year, made a lot of playoff games, defeated Tom Brady in his last game as a Patriot. But this one kind of felt like a no-brainer last year. Patriots hiring Mike Vrabel, one of their former players, Belichick disciple, if you will. They went the wrong direction last year, evidently, with Gerard Mayo, having to fire him this year. And I think this is the right move, the right former Patriot to be hired. Mike Vrabel, but that's old news. Excuse my voice. I tried to cough it back into fruition. Let's see if that worked. I do feel a little hoarse, though, who probably does feel like a little horse or a little cowboy, a former cowboy, is Mike McCarthy. He didn't get fired per se, but I think his contract just ran out. I think we all kind of thought Jerry Jones would bring him back. So not totally shocking that McCarthy's not the coach anymore, but slightly shocking that Mike McCarthy isn't the Cowboys coach, because we thought Jerry Jones had confidence in Mike. He had his trust in him, but I guess not. So Mike McCarthy is a free agent. I talked last week about how the Chicago Bears had put in a request to the Cowboys to interview with Mike McCarthy. That's why this news was such a shock to me, because the Cowboys blocked him last week. They said, nope, Bears, you can't talk to him. That's our coach. Well, not anymore. Now the Bears can talk to him. I believe the Bears already did talk to him. That's the most no-brainer move to me here. That would be a classic Chicago Bears front office move to hire the former Packers coach Mike McCarthy. Hey, I couldn't really hate on the move that much. I would laugh if it happened, because at the end there, I think Packers fans and players alike were glad to get rid of McCarthy. He was kind of holding the team back, but he also brought the team to a Super Bowl, getting a sixth seed. To the Super Bowl is no easy task. Mike McCarthy did it, and he won the Super Bowl against the Steelers. Take that, Jonna. Steelers L. Although Packers and Steelers both took the L this weekend. So what's the point? But yeah, that's my official prediction. Who will get hired? Mike McCarthy to the Bears. And then as far as the Cowboys and their vacancy, why not Deion Sanders? That would be a classic Jerry Jones move. He's like, one of my former players, you know, had Colorado in the mix in the Big 12. Why not? Deion, if he can do it in college, why couldn't he do it in the pros? I don't personally think Deion Sanders would go to the Cowboys. I think that would be the funniest outcome. But no, personally, I do think Deion's going to stay and see this QB prospect out to fruition. What I think is more likely than Deion Sanders to the Cowboys actually would be Deion Sanders to the Raiders. They have a head coach opening. If they end up getting Mr. Shedeur Sanders to the Oakland Raiders, they probably wouldn't mind having a father-son duo with Deion and Shedeur there. So McCarthy to the Bears, I'll predict that. I don't want to predict Deion to the Raiders, because I think Shedeur actually might end up as a New York Giant, and they do not have a head coach vacancy. So I think Deion will stay put, but who knows? But who will definitely get hired to finally answer this question here? Ben Johnson, that's one guy who will get hired. He's the Lions offensive coordinator. He deserves a hiring, a head coach hiring somewhere. And apparently another guy who's going to get hired is the defensive coordinator for the Lions, Aaron Glenn. He's had a great defense despite numerous injuries this year. He's been able to put together a patchwork defense that ended up with them being the number one overall seed. Damn, my voice is hoarse. Hopefully this water can get through it. I don't know why, though. I'm in the midst of attempting to quit vaping. Here's a shameless product placement here. I bought this thing, the Ripple Plus. It's a nicotine-free vape. Ripple, please sponsor me. I think I had to make a TikTok or something to get involved, but TikTok's going to be dead in a couple days. I really hope not, because that'd be a lot of goosebump followers down the drain. But we'll see what happens. The guy who said he wants to save it is going to inaugurate it the day after it's been banned. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'll end up on Little Red Book, which is even more Chinese of an app than TikTok was. And that's why the government's concerned about TikTok, is because it's a Chinese app. They don't want us to have their data. Give them... Y'all can have my data in China. I don't care. The iPhone I'm using is something your children created at low wages. So sorry about that side tangent. Please don't ban TikTok. But if TikTok does get banned, I'll be right on that Chinese app. Jiangshu or something that's called, I don't know, Little Red Book. The Little Red Communist Manifesto. I think that's the translation from Chinese to English. But let's get back to the podcast with some more football talk. What's up with Deontay Johnson? I don't know. I don't know the guy. I feel like the word locker room cancer is being thrown around in a lot of sentences involving Deontay Johnson. But it is truly puzzling what's happened to his career since leaving Pittsburgh. He has bounced around. He's maybe one of the fastest journeymen ever. You know, they say it's a marathon, not a journeyman. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But for Deontay Johnson, this journey to becoming journeyman was a sprint. He became a journeyman in 1 year somehow. He started the year as a Carolina Panther, ended up getting traded to the Baltimore Ravens, waived by them, picked up by the Houston Texans. And guess who just claimed Deontay Johnson and wants him back on their team? The Baltimore Ravens. This is the second time he's been on the Ravens this year. Now, this is weird, though, because he can't play for the Ravens. It's, you know, I guess waiver claims during the playoffs don't, you know, they don't work the same way. Or perhaps it was because he was on a playoff team and he got waived during the playoffs. But just weird. So I don't understand the situation at all. So I'll just have Adam Schefter break it down, and I'll plagiarize him word for word here. Back to Baltimore, the Ravens claimed former wide receiver Deontay Johnson on waivers today from the Texans, per the league's wire. This is a procedural move, and Johnson won't be officially, quote-unquote, awarded to the Ravens after the Super Bowl. But he qualifies as an unrestricted free agent this offseason, and if he signs with another team, he factors into Baltimore's compensatory pick formula, potentially helping it obtain additional draft pick in 2026. Johnson doesn't have the ability to play this postseason and likely won't step foot back into the Ravens facility, but now he can help Baltimore in the offseason. That last sentence from Shefty is funny. Now he can help you guys. Not like when he refused to enter the regular season game against the Eagles, but... just a weird, weird year for Deontay Johnson. I don't know what's up with him, but clearly he's got somewhat bad vibes. But yeah, the Ravens, who waived him earlier this year, picked him up in the hopes that adding him will somehow lead to their compensatory draft pick. So to answer what's up with Deontay Johnson as a question, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'd love to know. I'd love to interview him. Deontay, come on, Clown Questions. Let's talk through. It's an interesting scenario. Something else I'd like to talk through, and someone I would like to talk to, is Zion. So my question is, what did Zion do? That's kind of a weird way to it's kind of hard to say what Zion do. Whatever. I don't have good grammar. I think it's grammatically correct, but it just doesn't sound good. And here I am in a hoarse-voiced tangent, but back to Zion. Zion Williamson was suspended one game this past week for violating team policies. What did Zion do, you might ask? Well, I already did ask that. He was apparently late to a team flight, and he was also late to some practices, so he probably showed up to some practices late, and that being late to the flight was probably the last straw, so they suspended him one game, last straw, no pun intended. I'm not claiming Zion, you know, likes milkshakes, because I love them. Sorry. Whoever saw that clip of Stephen A where he's like, bring up Molly and whoever the co-host is. Bring Molly and Shannon up on the screen, please. I hope this Zion thing isn't food related. It's not food related, but, you know, maybe Stephen A had a point. It was laziness related. He's late. I'm late to shit all the time. I get you, Zion, my fat brother. That's what me and Zion got in common. But, yeah, he was just late. But I don't know. Zion put down a crazy 360 windmill recently. So, I don't know. I'm hoping he can keep that up. And hopefully he's more on time, because I think we'd all like to watch him in the NBA playoffs here. I don't think he's played in too many playoff games yet. Let's move it along with my next question here. This might be a short podcast, BTW. It'll make up for the last two being too long. But next question, where did he transfer to? Who am I referring to? Carson Beck. He did, as I rumored last week, he did indeed transfer to Miami. The U. He will be a Hurricane now. Apparently they're paying him $4 million in NIL. Some are saying maybe he transferred to live with his girlfriend, Hannah Cavender or someone. I think that's her name. University of Miami basketball player. I think her twin sister is also on that basketball team. But, yeah, some are saying that's why Carson Beck did not declare, or he pulled his name out of the NFL draft to go to Miami, you know, to be with his girl. But, no, I think he pulled his name out of the draft because I guess he thinks he can improve his draft stock. We already kind of thought he was going to be a top first or second round pick at the worst, but after the injury, Carson's like, you know what, I think I got a shot at being a top 10 pick. Maybe that's smart. You could, in theory, make a lot more money. I looked it up. Caleb Williams is making less than $1 million in salary this year, and he was the number one pick, but he got like $20 million signing bonus. So, like, you know, I think Carson knows it wouldn't affect his salary huge, but that signing bonus, being a top 10 pick versus being a second or third round pick, is huge. So he's like, you know what, I'll take the $4 million in NIL. That'd be a higher salary than I make in the NFL. And I can increase my stock for this next draft. Another guy I wanted to answer the question, where did he transfer to, relates to Kyron Lacy. So where did Kyron Lacy transfer to? The Louisiana State Penitentiary, not the Louisiana State Tigers. Kyron has declared his name for the NFL draft quite a while ago, actually. He was going to be, you know, I think first or second round pick, same as Carson Beck. But I think a few days before he declared for the NFL draft, Kyron Lacy got into a fatal hit and run. That's right. He is wanted right now on felony charges for allegedly causing a fatal December crash and leaving the scene. With stats like that, you would have thought he was a Georgia Bulldogs player. He's not. He's an LSU Tiger and was going to be a great player in the NFL. But I don't know if he's going to be in the NFL anymore. I think he's might be transferred to a penitentiary at some point here. Sounds like he kind of killed a guy and tried to get away with it, drove away. He's going to join the all Henry Ruggs squad, the longest yard squad. Not a good look. Really sad, actually, what happened. So I don't know why I'm trying to make jokes. I don't know. I try to make light out of everything, and I'm going to continue trying to make light out of this next question and answer. Who's the greatest broadcaster of all time? My honest opinion, Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker, I think today, or if you're listening to this right now, it would have been yesterday. He officially, I'm out of sorts, but unfortunately, Bob Uecker passed away. Really sad. I feel like I've lost a lot of legends recently, you know, personally and in the sports world. But yeah, Bob unfortunately passed away, and he's one of the greats. Whether you're a Brewers fan or not, I think everyone has to agree. He's one of the greatest sportscasters, one of the greatest broadcasters, especially in the baseball world of all time. Always enjoyed listening to Bob Uecker. I feel like, you know, I've growing up in a different era, I didn't listen to him all that much. Even when I was an avid, you know, I'm getting back into Brewers, but like when I was 10 years old, I was watching all 162 games, as many as I could. But I was watching them on TV, so I wasn't hearing Bob a lot. So a lot of the memories I have listening to Bob Uecker, me and my dad driving around, most of the time we've done that is when we're at a Brewer game and we leave early because, you know, you want to beat the traffic and, you know, hopefully you're up at the time enough that you feel confident to leave. But even if we're down, we flip on the Bob Uecker and best in the business. That's all I can say. The GOAT, the G-Boat, the greatest broadcaster of all time. And Bob passing away is why today's first interruption will be with a comedian, Artie Lang. I might be showing that I don't know ball or at least, you know, entertainment, pop culture by saying that I don't really know anything about Artie Lang other than he's a comedian. I don't know if I'm calling him Artie. I think it's just Artie Lang. But he's a comedian, and this clip resurfaced today with the news of Bob Uecker. So here's a hilarious Bob Uecker story as told by Artie Lang. Norm MacDonald's in this clip as well on the Howard Stern show. But Artie's story about Bob Uecker is hilarious. Shout out Poker Perry. Poker Perry is actually the guy who retweeted, and that's how this popped up on my feed. But hilarious clip here with Artie Lang. And here we use this first year interruption to celebrate the legacy of Bob Uecker.
So Norm says to me, hey, man, let's go hang out with Uecker because he knows I'm a big fan, which was nice. So we go to Arizona, and it's the funniest 24-hour period I've ever spent. We played a round of golf with Bob Uecker, and he let us sit in the booth to listen to him announce a Brewer Cub game. Okay.
Right.
Now, he had a cough button. You know, if you're going to cough, you hit the cough button, right, and you're not on the air.
Sure.
So, from what I remember, Norm may not remember this because he's friends with Bob Uecker. But anyway, Uecker would be announcing the baseball game.
Right.
And like a fucking jazz musician, it was unbelievable. If he saw a really hot chick in the crowd, he would hit the cough button,
right,
and say something filthy about her, then go right back to announcing the game. It was like magic. So
unbelievable. You think that's a high-risk thing to be doing. That's like walking the high wire.
He would say shit like this. He'd go, here's the 2-2 pitch to Sosa. Ground ball to shortstop. Look at the fucking tits on that whore. Over to first base, two down.
And he'd hit the button that quickly.
Yeah, and
so you must have been out of your mind, entertained. And now when you listen to him, you're wondering, like, during the spaces, what he's saying.
Howard, that's the story I told on Letterman. I cleaned it up.
Right, obviously. Right, right.
And he started using, like, old guy words for the chicks. Like, he'd go, fly ball to center field. God, I like to get with that trollop. That's the third out.
That is just hilarious to me. Bob Uecker, it's, you know, seemingly clean-cut guy. Obviously, he was a dog. Bob Uecker, you were a dog. He's introducing me to words I'd never even heard. The trollop? What the hell does trollop mean? Is that sounds so bad. Is trollop, is that a slur? Let me search. Is trollop a slur? The meaning of trollop is, what the heck, is a disreputable woman. Oh my goodness. Sorry. I'm awkwardly Googling this, but it's a vulgar, disreputable woman, especially one who engages in sex promiscuously or for money. Oh, it's prostitute. Is that Is that a slur, though? A trollop is considered derogatory, according to Oxford English Dictionary. So, come on, Bob. Don't be calling girls trollops out here. But that's just hilarious. I was using that cough button. I haven't used this cough button yet. I should figure out how to utilize that. But yeah, what can you say? Great guy, Bob Uecker. That first year interruption doesn't really make him seem like a great guy. It kind of makes him seem like a womanizer, but forget about that. He's Mr. Baseball, as coined by, I guess it was facetiously coined by Johnny Carson back in the day, but Uecker's 1964 World Series champion for the St. Louis Cardinals. I guess he was an actor. I didn't really watch him. I haven't seen Major League. Maybe I got to go watch Major League. And he was in Mr. Belvedere, apparently. But what I always remember from Bob Uecker is his iconic home run call. Get up, get up, get out of here, gone. I don't know if he took that from someone, if he invented that. But that will always be iconic. I'll never forget hearing Bob Uecker say that in exciting moments for the Milwaukee Brewers. So rest in peace, Bob. We will never forget you, Brewers fans, and anybody else who knows of your legendary broadcasting and acting career and playing career. Did win a championship, so you got to give him props there. But anyways, let's get to the goosebump moments of the week. Quick caveat here. Minnesota hit a buzzer beater from the logo tonight. Northwestern, I believe, also hit a buzzer beater. So I'm going to put those next week. And yeah, that's just a cop out because I'm still figuring this out. The timing with this whole podcast thing is tough, but I'm trying. I'm doing my best to quit vaping. My New Year's resolution was to set more goals. The first goal I set was to quit nicotine. So there it is. Ripple Plus, please sponsor me. But here they are, the goosebump moments of the week. Starting it off at number 10, we have Ja Morant hitting a tough shot over Anthony Edwards to win it for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Morant, clock winding down. Puts it up. It drops. With 18.6.
Number 9, Ian Martinez completes a 4-point play to win it for Utah State.
Woo! Gotta get it in. Martinez, it's a three, and he's fouled, and he hits it!
Number 8, Deuce Jones banks in the game winner for LaSalle with a second remaining.
Ball comes into Jones. Jones for three and the win! They got it! Deuce Jones!
Number 7, Boopie Miller hits another game winner for SMU to defeat Virginia.
Miller throws it up. It's good. It's good. It beats the buzzer and SMU wins in Charlottesville.
Number 6, Jaden Greathouse breaks ankles on his way to the game-tying touchdown in the Orange Bowl.
Leonard throws wide open. Jaden Greathouse avoided Jalen Reed of scores. 54 yards.
Number 5, Keller Boothby hits the game winner at the buzzer for William and Mary.
Keller Boothby, top of the key.
Number 4, Ronald Polite III hits a rude game winner at the horn for UNC Greensboro.
For a 3-0 record in the SoCon, Ronald Polite has broken the hearts of the fans of the Scenic City.
Number 3, Ashley Chia hits a step-back buzzer beater to win it for the Princeton women.
She steps back for the winner. Yeah!
Number 2, earlier this year we had the doink for the division. Here's Zane Gonzalez with the doink to the divisional round. Wow, that name won't stick.
Every game-winning field goal. It's hitting an upright. Oh, my.
Number one moment of the week, Jack Sawyer strip sack and 82-yard tutty return sends OSU to the championship.
Pressure comes. Sawyer knocked it up and picks it up. Jack Sawyer headed down the sidelines. Ohio State scoop and score and dagger from 82 yards.
You can't script this. Roommates, when yours was at Ohio State, he spoils his dream with that strip sack and touchdown.
Jack Sawyer, you are forever an Ohio State legend, a college football legend, college football playoff legend. That was a cool little tidbit at the end. I heard from Chris that him and Quinn Ewers were actually roommates when Quinn was an Ohio State guy. Crazy stuff there. So many buzzer beaters this week. I just ended up putting the two football moments ahead because they're in the playoffs, so I guess I think they're a little bigger. But a lot of memorable moments this week. I was going to finish out the show with my national championship pick, but I picked Ohio State preseason, so that's going to be my pick, is Ohio State to beat Notre Dame on Monday night in that championship game. But I do want to do some NFL picks, so here they are, my divisional round picks. We got eight teams facing off here, four games. First game is Texans at the Chiefs. Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites. My pick is going to be the Texans, plus 8.5. I'm only picking Texans to cover because I think the Chiefs will win in a ridiculous manner. Not like they'll blow them out or anything. I just see the Chiefs winning on a field goal at the end or a pick six or some heartbreaking thing will happen to C.J. Stroud and the Texans. So that's why I like them to cover, make the game close. But Chiefs are winning. Chiefs will advance easy. Next game on Saturday is Commanders at the Lions. Another huge point spread here. Lions are 9.5-point favorites. That's why my pick is going to be Commanders plus 9.5. I want Jaden Daniels to win. I'll be rooting for him to win. I don't want the Lions to own the North. I want the Packers to get it back next year. And if the Lions keep winning, it'll just fuel the fire to maintain the crown next year. So I'm going to be rooting for the Commanders. I don't think they're going to win. David Montgomery is coming back from injury, so Sonic and Knuckles are fully back. Both of the running backs are healthy for the Lions, so going to be impossible to stop that offense. But Jaden Daniels, the cardiac Commanders, they've had more close games than feels like anyone this year, so I like the Commanders to keep it close. Unfortunately, I got them losing, though. Let's go to the Sunday games. Rams at Eagles. Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. That's going to be my pick as well. I love Puka. I love Kyren Williams. Jared Verse. There's some interesting players on the Rams, and it's cool, the story. They have the motivation of, you know, doing it for L.A., you know, trying to give people who have been decimated in L.A. by the fires something to root for. But I don't know. Philly is a tough environment to win at. Tough environment to be a fan at. If you saw that Packers fan getting berated last week, they banned that Eagles fan for life. So don't verbally assault anyone, guys. Eagles. But yeah, I do got the Eagles winning. Saquon's too good. Jalen Hurts is probably only healthier than he was last week. So I think the Eagles roll here. I got them covering. Last game, best game. Ravens at Bills. Ravens are 1-point favorites on the road in Orchard Park in Buffalo. Kind of crazy. This is the Bills' like first time they've been underdogs on the road in the playoffs since, you know, in like 50 years. I forget the stats, but just believe me, take my word for the half-assed stat. But anyways, in this game, my pick is going to be Bills plus 1, or, you know, I'll take Bills money line. You get a few more dollars sprinkled in there. Depends on what the odds are. Have to look at that. But Bills plus 1/Bills money line. That's my official pick in this game. Same thing as Ohio State. This is mostly because I picked them as my preseason Super Bowl champion. So why would I change my pick now? But this pick is incredibly easy to make because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.